recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf Masechet Nidah, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yitzayin, and we are holding at Omer Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, about one quarter of the way down. Chamisha dvarim ein she'oseh otam mitchayev benafsho v'damo b'rosho. There's five things that if a person does, he causes his own death, and he's going to pay for it. V'damo b'rosho t'minenash in olam haba. Ha'ochel shum kaluf, u'batzal kaluf, u'betzak klufa. Or Hashatem Mashkim Mezugit Shavar Aleim Halayla. All of the above. The words Shavar Aleim Halayla are on all of the above. So if you have a garlic that has no garlic shell on it, or you have an onion that is, it's completely peeled. If you have an hard egg that's completely peeled, or you have something mixed with water that was, we're going to see, kept in a metal container. And this was kept overnight, or, and this is now another thing, Alan bebet akfarot, vanotel tziponav vezorkan l'shut harabim, vabekizdel emeshavesh bitato. So we have that group of the things that were left overnight, somebody who goes out and sleeps in the bet akfarot, somebody who takes, who cuts his nails, throws them into shut harabim, and somebody who has a bloodletting and then has intercourse. Ochel shum kaluf, v'af agav v'manche v'sirtu u'metzare v'chatime. This is true. Even if you keep these pieces of onion or of garlic inside of a Tupperware container, so it's in a sal and it's sealed well, nonetheless, ruach ra'ah shorah aleihem, even though there's no chashash over here of gilui, normally gilui if it's closed, and obviously by definition it's not gilui. This is not because of gilui. This is because of ruach ra'ah. So that it's interesting that Bizman Hazeh were not makbid on these, because it's an interesting question, and nobody brings the psak la'halakha except for the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So Reb Moshe has a tshuva on it. Why is it that in fact people are not makbid? Well, nowadays, of course, they figured out to be makbid. That's become very in to be makbid.
On everything.
No, on this. Yes. Yeah. But he writes that because the Yerushalmi says that anything that is bitan ruach ra'ah does not apply bizman hazeh, she'in ruach ra'ah nimtza v'neinu, so therefore this particular thing never got sort of registered in the popular consciousness. Once people aren't makbid on it, so is other paskim brothers. Shemir p'sayim hashem. No inyan to run out to be makbid. So where is this? Says the Gemara, dafkad al-shir ben ikaran. Only if you left none of their roots sticking out the other side, or klipatan, you left none of the peel at all. If, however, you did, we're not mocked.
Even a little bit.
That, yeah, everybody is. I mean, what's the chiddush? If it says that only if they're peeled, so then what's the chiddush klipatan?
Mostly peeled.
Exactly. That's not what they say for some reason. So they've decided that this is even a bigger cool. I think the Arsalmeret says this is even a bigger cool. That if you leave some of the skin in with them,
it's also
about reactive raw.
What's the
problem is, but anyway.
Right. What's the basis of this? Nobody knows.
If you were a ruach ra'ah, you'd know what you were attracted to. You know? You can never tell what a ruach fantasizes about. I mean, garlic is the way to go. Exactly. It's a great Yiddish expression.
What's that?
I thought I was naftamina.
I eat wine.
None of them make sense.
I eat wine.
Hey, well, exactly. No, I do wine. Fine. It's such a profound insight. It's like you might and it's a Yiddish guy.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Right, sure. That's interesting, though, because, of course, By Western society, the garlic chases the vampires away. Over here, the garlic attracts them. Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay.
That's unpeeled.
Maybe. I have to look it up.
It has
to be the whole clothes. It doesn't even work if it's peeled. This is only where you keep it over in metal containers. Don't ask me, but I know my wife tells me if I ever put anything that's left in a can,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's the end. They started actually coating the cans with a plastic coating, so there must be something to this. It's that bad. But anyway, here it says bedroom. Omer of Papa, the cleanator to clean my
tachotis. What was this diluted? What did it mean? He mentions that it was.
Oh, so that's a shayla. Some say this doesn't apply to water, but it would mean it wouldn't apply to pure matcha. It would have to be mixed with water. So it's either pure water or pure fruit juice.
I'm saying this in the safety here. He doesn't mention anymore.
Yeah, the cleanator. Which I think is alum, actually, which means it's aluminum, it has aluminum in it. So lamaisa, that means that it ends up being a kli matachot. That's considered to be metallic. You have to be marked on that. He said the same thing. It's dafka if it was lona be kli matachot, and kli neters ke kli matachotami. V'alan be betak farod, why is anybody lan be betak farod? Because the whole point over there is kadesh tishrelah, Ruach Tum'ah. A guy wants to be able to use the Ruach Tum'ah to do magic tricks at the birthday party the next day. So, because of that, Zimdin, the Mitzachnin, like, sometimes you can get into trouble playing games with these Ruchot. Because if a pregnant woman walks over these cut fingernails, so then she could be Mapelet. Lo amran ela dushakel biginustri. This is dafka if you use a nail clipper or a scissors, not if you bite them off. Lo amran ela dushakel the yode vidikare. This is only if you took both nail and fingernail and toenails. Lo amran ela logaz mini batrai. And only if you didn't use the thing that you cut to cut a piece of paper or something afterwards. Logaz mini batrai. And none of this is true. Veloi. The kula milta chashina, it doesn't matter whether it was only your fingernail, and it doesn't matter whether you used the kli or you didn't use the kli, we're always chayish. Tana rabbanan shalshad varim nemru b'tziponayim sorfan chasid. There are three madrigas. Somebody who burns them is considered to be a chasid because that way he's being very makbid that no woman will come to be mapelet. Or alternatively, Tosfos says that the sreifa itself is dangerous for the person who's sorfan. He's willing to take a chance on his own health in order to say that's Ramesh, that's a chosid.
This is one of the biggest decisions in Hagar today.
Yes.
This burning fingernails?
Yeah, you want to be a chosid. But Lamaisa, I mean, it's an amazing thing because all of this is dafka if it's in the same okam where it was cut. If you will remove these nails into a different
position,
take it somewhere else and throw them out, there's no chashad. It's only if it's in the muck that they were cut.
You mean even if I throw them outside on the floor and block away?
Exactly.
But we said we should still allow for the width or the...
That's if you cut a Mershah's rod.
What's the whole problem with the fingernails?
The whole problem with the fingernails up in Kabbalah, it's a Kabbalistic thing. Because it was the Godim of Adam Harishon. So Adam Harishon's begotten were made out of Tzipporen. It was an excretion of his body. It was basically keratin. So since that was a pagan, that the woman had caused him to have these pagans, require such pagans. Something like that. So it's macatric on reproduction, because that was all a problem. But it's Eftel Dibani, this becomes an expression.
It's interesting that he said before cutting the fingernails and the toenails at the same time, that's worse, we're not supposed to do that also.
Yeah, but over here, that's the Mako Shita.
What?
That's the Mako Shita. If you didn't do it that way, that's
the fact that
that's much worse. Yeah, could also be have a mocker in this. And Zorkan Stam in the street is a Russia. Hamekis Damishamesh Mitato. Hamekis Damishamesh Mitato, having laid Banim. Vitkin. So you have over here these weaklings that they use for the comic book ads, the before ads. The pre-Charles ads, If both the male and the female had been Mekis Dam on that day, B'shimshu, that's even worse. Having like bunyim ba'alei ra'atan, that's super weak to have the worm eating away at their brain. It's only if you didn't need anything between the bloodletting and the intercourse. It is also to sleep with a woman in the daytime. And the simple reason, with all the explanations we have, the simple bottom line is, because you don't want to look, you want to find out what kind of ugly wife you have. So you better not. Maybe you'll see something. Maybe you'll see something you don't like. So better to keep yourself in the dark. Yisrael Yisrael are very mocked because of that. They're not mishamish b'yom. But the truth is that it's not really a din in the day and the night like we made such a fuss before. It's just a question of not having light. So if it was a bayit afel, it's mutter. And a Talmud Chacham who is careful not to look, you're not even really in a bayit afel. He could just be mitzanua mafio b'shuto. Yeah, or cover himself over with his suit and his mishamish. Now wait a minute. We said that in order to make a bedika, so he said either to shamish or aner. I thought you just said it's a big deal not to be mishamish. Obviously, this was the machlokas that triggered the whole discussion over here. So how could you say that if you don't have a separate aid, that the thing to do is to be mishamish or aner? So the Gemara, well, obviously, I mean, why would you have to be mishamish or aner? The point is that you need to check the aid. So it ain't a tivdok or aner. Toshma, so what are you going to do about the bride? The bride says, "Af abishamra mishamish mitato lo aner harezim megune." Nonetheless, amru imat. So obviously, this is no gear. No, that's something else. That's habodek mitato lo aner. Even bedika lo aner is also considered to be megune, because aner is not a proper bedika. How good can you see? You want to be bodek where there's real light. If you're going to rely on such a bedika, shvachamaisis, that's all that it was saying. Tashma, v'shalbeit mon vazif.
The Russian maguna, as opposed
to... Usually maguna, oh. Yasher kochon. Okay. Tashma, v'shalbeit mon vazif melechaya osin shloshad varim umaskirin otan l'shevach. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Yes, yeah, so normally Areza Meguna refers to some kind of inappropriate behavior, not Areza Meguna. So, the Raji Pshat is, you don't make a good bedik, which is strange. As Reb Reuven is pointing out, you say Areza Meguna, you know.
Right, as it's supposed to be Nasser. Meguna. As supposed to be Mishamish.
Ah, that's when Meguna means that it's not, it's
inappropriate.
Right, in other
words, it's saying, like, to look at one's bed. And to look at
no, that's
another.
Not what it's saying. That's... Oh, Sir Richard!
Ladies and gentlemen, no, I just saw the bed leaving.
You thought you missed the whole thing.
What?
You thought we finished.
Yeah.
So anyway, so over there it's also not considered to be, it's not considered to be a dover that is proper for here. But it could also mean that even a bedika could cause you a mistake, maybe. Then you would lashon guna would make more sense. Anyway, as the Gemara, it says that Beit Munbaz HaMelech did three things that the Chachom were maskil l'sheva. He viewed this as being something that people can learn from. What? I can learn from? So they used to do their sexual duties in the daytime. Botkin mitoteim b'mila parhava. They also used to check their edei bedika were with this cotton that was very clean. And they would treat snow, I guess they like Slurpees a lot, with the dinam of mayim to give it a din of Tumah V'Tahir, all of which we're going to discuss. But anyway, what's interesting for us is it says over here, it's a good thing. That means it means botkim mitateim b'yom. It means that they would look at the Eid of Bedika, just like we just said now. You do Bedika, to the Oran there. I'm just going to pick up Tipas Dam Kechardal. You're not going to really see. So therefore, it means they did the Bedika beyond. I mean, come on, what else could it mean? You're going to tell me it means that they were shameish bilatayim b'yom. I mean, even if you'll say it's okay for whatever reason, you're certainly not going to say that we're going to be masking them l'shevach. I mean, why would we do that? Because Yisak Adaitchav Mishamshin, so masking them l'shevach. You could say maybe they're mafil b'talita, it was mutter, it was no problem, but why l'shevach? So you go, no, it is l'shevach, in a chinami. Why? Because who's got kayach for sex at night? Because agavika only shina. All the guy wants to do is go to sleep. His wife is driving him crazy. So he'll go through the motions, but Lamaisa, he'll end up being disgusted with her. So since it's Ika Oneshina Meganya Bape, so because of that, they Bedavka wanted to wait till they had desire for her. So that meant that they woke up in the morning, and they were both in Mitati, not to Sheva, but to be Makbid, not to do things right. But Mila Parhava, as everybody else, of course, would be more Makbid, and the Gemara says, well, I want Nulum Afkamina, so I'll end up hating you. The whole point was that it was the after Gamuch in the first place that was spoken. Since when does Seichel make a difference? So therefore, Maskinot HaMashavah. Then it says, Bodkin, Mitotei, B'mila Bahava, they would use very clean cotton. Misayeh Leli Shmuel, Domer Shmuel, Ein Bodkinot Amita, Ela Bepakolin, either you use these clean cotton pieces, or Betsemer Naki Verach. Or you can use wool, but the wool has to be very clean and soft. On the Rav, now I understand. I know the Kiyavai, I'm the Barve Shabbatot. When I visited Eretz Yisrael, so they had these guys going around in Erev Shabbos, and they would say, who needs any pakule for their Nahama? Never that. Cotton for your bread. What in the world? That's a layout of my camera. I have no idea. What are they talking about? Now I understand that what they meant was bread, Kiyima Okel. So it was a euphemism. And they meant that they were selling pieces of cotton in order to the batika. Omar Rabba, Ani Shachake the Kitna Male the batika. Worn out linen is great for using for these batikas. Why? Any but Anadve Menashe, in but Kinet Amita, Lobe Ed Adam, Velobe Ed Shafar, Velobe Pishtan. You certainly don't want to use any colored begotten, but even linen always has this beige kind of coloration. You want something that's white and bright. Ela Bepakolin, Obitzemer Nakivarach. No, not that. One is referring to Kitna. What's this? It says Pishtan. He said, Beloy Big, the begotten of Pishtan. Habemane de Kitna. Or, you know what, it could be that even both of them are referring to actual material of linen. It depends. If it's new, so then, first of all, it's stiff, and it has that pishtan coloration, it has this beige coloration. We're looking for tzemer, naki, and ra. The equivalent in linen is also good. So that is the shachake. Over there, yes, it's interesting. The Rambam, the only one the Rambam mentions is the case of the linen. You're very exactly with linen. It's a different approach to the sugya.
Kitna always means linen.
Linen. Never means cotton. No, it means linen.
Well, what do we call cotton?
We call it semer gefen. Here we call it pakolin. Yeah, of course. These are the pakolin referring to semer. Yeah, semer gefen is it. Yeah. Egypt was linen bafka. Egypt was at the time the great linen exporter. That was the
not like today.
Today
they had cotton.
They had cotton. Yeah.
But and cotton would be the whitest of all these things in a natural state.
Yeah. But here we're talking about where it's made linen. It's processed with bleach. They used to bleach it. Everything. Now, the next thing they did was that they were masked away from the Sheva, is that they were makbid to be noyeg, to be the Tyra, bishlagim, which is mashma, that was like their own chumra. And the fact is that there was, because actually, it's not Atta. We know that it says in the Tosafot, it's actually not a Mishnah, but it's not Tanya, I guess it's saying, that Sheleg eno lo ochel, velo mashke, that snow does not have a din, not of ochel, not of mashkin. Remember that the same way that we have two separate mashkin, we have mayim and we have tal, and the shema mashkin. Means that we don't look at the chemical construct. We look at the gross status. So if it's ice crystals, it doesn't have a din of ochel, it doesn't have a mashkin. If you have a machshava on it to make it an ochel, Even that machshava is not going to make any difference. Any matamin to matochel. If you have a machshava as mashkin, so then it'll be makabel tumah as mashkin. Now the din over there is that nonetheless, since lamais is constructed of separate ice crystals, we don't view it as a liquid to say that touching one part of it touches is considered to be matami the entire container. There's no such thing. So nitma miktzato lo nitma kulo. Whatever the specific area that became tuma, became a kabel tuma with tuma, the rest of it isn't. But nitar miktzato nitar kulo. If, however, it was all tuma, which the mashra had been touched, it all became tuma. Now you do hashaka. The only way to be matire it is not by putting it into a mikvah, but by touching it to a mikvah. Right? So that's called hashaka. So ashaka, it doesn't have to be one thing. Because if you touch whatever part you touch, the way ashaka works is that it becomes bottle to the mikvah. It's called zri'ah. It's as if you were zorea each piece. So far, each piece touches the next piece. You don't need, by tuma, obviously, it would be attenuated first time down the line. So by tuma, it wouldn't be matami. But it will be matai. The only problem is that that's mashma, that it had all been makabel tuma. So a gufakash, I don't get it. First you say nitma mitzato lo nitma kula, which means that you cannot be matami the whole bunch. And then you say, but separate crystals. Then you say, but if it's nita kula, but that's mashma that was nitma. I was at nitma. First you said it's not nitma. So I was at nitma. I mean, you're talking about kula. What do you mean kula? You have a thin layer on top, and now how did the inside get tummy? Like you're talking about nitma.
If you covered it with the whole...
Well, that's what we're going to answer, obviously. Rabbi, it's talking about Gigon Sheviro. You took the shalom and you put it into the airspace of a kli cheres that was nitma. And we know that once that's true, since the Torah was meida of kli cheres, afilu molek hardal, you can ask the same thing. You have a container that is full of mustard seed. Right? So let's say, so how do you view the tumah of a kli cheres? That whatever the air comes into contact with is considered to be nageya? No. Because if that were true, if you have mustard seed, so the outside would become tameh, and by the time you get to the next layer down, it can't be mekabel tumah from which now it's no longer a region of tumah. So how do you have a mustard seed? And yet it says, bitokho, komash bitokho is tameh. Must be that it's the space that is matami, not the actual maga with the air. So when we say avir, what do you mean? Avir, I mean the space. Okay, so if it's did in a space, then if you take the shelag and you pass it through the airspace of the klicheres, the whole thing will become tummy. Now the shayla is, if I touch the outer part of the mikveh, then the entire thing becomes tahor. Excellent. And now, yes, I kept trying to stretch it out, but now we can go.
Zok d'chelik ha-mishnah.
Mashal mashmu chachamim be'isha. The chachamim created a vocabulary that was similar to seeing an isha as a bayit, because an isha is a bayit. That's how we always treat her. So we talk about the cheder. The cheder is the inside room through the prosdor. And now you have the aliyah that's above now. So the dam that comes from the cheder, which is the actual uterus, is tameh. The dam that comes from the aliyah, and the way that we ended up learning the sugya last time, we'll do this time as well, is talking about the mess up over here is to try to think that this has to do with the reproductive system. Because there ain't no such thing, as everybody knows, all of this. People have been tereach on for centuries to try to figure out what the heck the Gemara is talking about. And there is no such thing. Yeah, I mean, all of the Rishonim say, what do you mean? But we know there's no such thing. I mean, any surgeon will tell you there is no such thing as an aliyah. So if, however, we expand the discussion to include the bladder, and we expand the discussion to include any area that empties through the reproductive system, that, so to speak, uses the vaginal canal. So now we have an explanation of the whole mess, which I'll talk about in a minute. So let's assume that the aliyah, it refers to the bladder, and then we're talking about a lul, which is the urethra that comes from the aliyah. So what we really would be talking about is a question of whether dam that is found from uterine bleeding, or dam that is found from a urinary infection or some kind of problem in the urinary tract, which is very common. So, therefore, if you find nimtza beprozdor, sveko, so if you find the dam aliyazar, nimtza beprozdor, if you find the blood in the prozdor itself, which lechor would be the entire vaginal tract, then sveko tame, afishach haskatam in a makor, because that would come from actual uterine bleeding. Now, this leaves out the whole problem of the lul, which is where the real issue gets confusing. So Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak Bar Edi, Rav Yehuda were sitting and learning Masechet Nida in the Beis HaMidrash of Ravuna, Bei Ravuna. Rabba was Ravuna's son. Rabba Bar Ravuna is Ashkechino. He finds them with the following discussion: Diyati v'ka'amre, ha'cheder mi'bifni, ha'prozdor mi'bachutz. The Aliyah is now built above them. Binuyah shtehem. It is built above both of them. And there is a lul, which sounds like a passive, but usually we use the word lul like we had before. We had in Midas about the lul that was the parbar, mi'bachutz. So there was a lul that was patuach from the outside of the Beit HaMikdash. It's a small opening, in other words, small passageway that is open between the aliyah and the prozdor. Therefore, it's not so pashut to say that if it's nibta beprozdor sveko tame, what you have to be is more accurate. If it's nibta min alul velifnim in the prozdor, so then sveko tame. But if it's found min alul velachutz in the prozdor, then it's sveko tor. Now, something is very strange about all of this, because the Mishnah doesn't even mention anything about a different part of the prozdor. How did we ignore that? So, if we take, I couldn't get a larger, tried to make a big picture, but it's very pixelated. I couldn't get a big picture. But let us consider, I'll pass around the picture and I'll put it online. Let us talk about the entire reproductive area, not just the reproductive system. So you'll notice that over here, on the short side of affairs would be to consider the vagina, the prozdor, and then at the point where you have the opening of the vagina, blebachutz, we're talking about the end of the prozdor. Now, if that's true, then this makes no sense, because then if you, again, look at the picture, you have over here, the uterus is folded up, so it's basically small, above this whole area. This is the back, as you can see, the vertebrae. And then you have the larger bladder, which opens past the vaginal opening, so that it's really in the area of the labia, near the clitoris. So if lamaisa, a woman is standing normally, what happens is that any dam that would be coming from the uterus, which is here, would flow directly out. It couldn't possibly get back here. How would the dam go back there to be found? Min halul, which is the urethra, which opens from, you see this little passageway, from the bladder, into the area which is past, it's in the other direction. So how would the blood have gotten now all the way past the lul? Must be that it really was uterine it was urinal problems, and nothing to do with dam nidas. The Mishnah doesn't even mention the lul, is because it's talking about the prozdor, meaning going directly from the uterus down and out. So down and out, there is no lul. So it works out perfectly with the spirit. Since there's no lul, the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Lamaisa, it is certainly possible that if she would lie down flat on her face, which Rashi is going to explain is the meaning, which makes this perfect. Rashi is going to explain the meaning of the sigitaka. So that's if she lies down flat on her face. So then bleeding that would normally have gone out travels along the top and comes out past the lul. So now if you find blood taking a swab around the labia, instead of going directly back, sticking your finger in, remember, she's doing the chorin v'sedakin. She's going to chorin v'sedakin. She's going to pick up blood that was also found that looks like, oh gosh, how could it have gotten there? What do you mean, how could it have gotten there? Lie down on your tummy, like this, and then the blood will just slide here. So now, when she stands up again, so she's finding blood coming from the wrong direction. But that's perfectly understandable as a possibility. Okay, so now we understand why in the Mishnah where we're describing the reproductive system, specifically we don't mention the lul. We're just trying to identify the place. So we have the prozdor. Then when you find the second story which is the bladder. So you can view the bladder as being on top of both of them. Because if she's lying down, so now you have the bladder on top of both the collapsed uterus and the prostate. So this would make perfectly good sense. Just to make fun of this, all of the anti-Talmudists make fun of this whole Gemara. There's no such thing what I'm talking about. There is no rule, isn't there? But Lamaise is a perfectly reasonable explanation. So, Rabba Bar Avuna was shocked by their discussion because they were talking about it as if this is the way that Rav Huna had learned the sugya. Lamaise, his father never told him that. So Ate goes back and he asks his father, Amar le Leavua. So he says to his father, is that true that you said that Sveikotame, Amar Banmar, did in fact, this is what you were teaching? That's the lashon that we had. Nimtzem and alul v'lefnim, Sveikotame. Min alul v'lachutz, Sveikotah. We're not quite certain what the din is. So it's not vada. But that's not what the Mishnah says. It says, Cheskato min amikor. Cheskato min amikor is mashma that we rely on. That is a tumah vada'it. Notice it. And they left out that whole piece. They didn't say Cheskato min amikor. So apparently, they hold that it really remains a suffix. Omale anan hachikamin. I'll tell you exactly how I taught it. I taught min alu v'lefnim is vada'itame, based on Cheskato min amikor. Min aluv v'lachutz is sveiko tamei. That's what I said. Omra Rabbi, I don't get it. Well, you're telling me min aluv v'lachutz is a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Because we're cheshesh that dilma shahata, maybe shahata, maybe she lied down on her stomach. And if she had lied down on her stomach, then dam that came from the cater, instead of coming out, would have gone along the top, which is now the top, in other words, because she's lying on her stomach, and would have come out past the loop. That's the point. So therefore, you were telling me that maybe really it was Mecheder Ka'ata. So, but if that's the case, you could have an opposite case. You could say that Min Alu V'Lefnim, you could also certainly have a way in which Ema is Dakra, you can have exactly the same situation if she was lying down on her back in the other direction. So then maybe she was doing exercise. I don't know, she did gymnastics. I don't know. So it's certainly possible that urinary bleeding would find its way back up towards the cheder and then come down. And she really, you're assuming that she's Anita when she has a urinary infection. So, I mean, it's just as much a question, no? I mean, you're talking about unusual positions. If it's unusual positioning, you're saying the body moves about. People don't remember. They did this, they did that. So it should always be a suffix. I mean, make up your mind. I don't see why it should be a difference. So therefore, we should say it's always a suffix. Therefore, Aitaina, says Abaye, look, if you're going to think about possibilities, going to think about possibilities that do not follow natural positions. And you're willing to say, well, you're right. I mean, assuming that people just stand still, but who knows what type of movements she made. So then both are only a suffix. See, Batachashasha Azalta, even is suffix. If Batachasaka Azalta, if you want to say that, look, Eskatomen Amakorbi, generally speaking, without further ado, we would assume that this is the standard way that she's standing. If this is how she's standing, there's no way that blood from the uterus could have gotten past the opening of the vagina and gotten back into the area of the womb. So therefore, we'll rely on cheskato. Okay. So then, then it's a vada. So then we would say it's vadai tame. And when it says tame, it means mamish to be chayiv, a carbon for knisa l'mikdash, to be serif, truma v'kachim. But you can't have it both ways. You can't ask in one direction that we're chayish for different positions, and the other direction that we're valai. Tony Rebbe, here, dam animtza beprozdor, chayavina lava biat mikdash. Oh. Tony Rebbe, here, that it's absolute chiyav. No suffix that it came from the lul. If she walks into the base hamikdash, she would be chayav. She touches truma, we'll burn the truma, we won't be tied to the truma. Whereas Rav Katina Amar, Ein Chayiv Ben Alav Abiyat Mikdash, you'll never be Chayiv because you can never be sure. Vein surfino levet truma. You have to be tailored to truma. Now, la'ach lisha damer abayas. This works out very good. The way that Abaya was learning it, you need to make up your mind whether you go baser the chazaka or you go baser chashasha. So the question is, does the chazaka of a position allow you to make assumptions that what you're looking at is what you get? Woman walks in, standing up, sitting, whatever, and then this is the normal position, that's how you pass it. On the other hand, chashasha means you take everything into consideration. So now it turns out that these two shitot of Rabbi Chiya and Rav Katina, essentially, that's the difference between them. So l'hach lishit omer abaya, that if you're going to go batar chashasha, you always have a suffix. Oh, perfect, Mizrael Rav Katina. That would be exactly what Rav Katina is saying. It's always a suffix. How can you burn truma? How can you be mechayev for kenisa l'migdash? She's going to be bringing a korban that is kulan azar, upligi the Rebbe Chiya. And it argues Rebbe Chiya, who says that it's a vaday. But la'ach nishtamati bata chazaka azal. And Abaya, not as Abaya, basically has opened up the two possibilities. Now we see Rav Katina and Rav Chiya actually arguing that if you're going to tell me that bata chazaka azalta, that over there it becomes a vaday, perfect. That's misayeh alele Rebbe Chiya. And it's pligi the Rav Katina. Okay, we'll there's still a great deal to discuss on this, which Bezrat Hashem we shall do tomorrow.
And it doesn't, really, you don't have to have unusual motions between standing and laying down in all possible places. That's
right,
normal,
right.
Too. It's kind of normal.
Well, is Dakra Mugina sort of an angle back? That would be the sad to say that only one direction is a suffix and the other isn't. It is much more normal to lie down flat, and even that would cause the Dom to go
sleep
head
of back.
Yeah, but not his Dakra. Exactly, would mean that it would have to be a little angle to be able to go back. You remember, I mean, this would be his dakra. Right? Even normally, his dakra, if you're talking about just on her back, just flat on her back, what that comes from the urethra still finds its way out over here from the vagina. So if she's back like that,
or if she's jumping,
then it slides along the top, gets to the back, and she comes back down and out.
Unless it's like a backwards jumping.
Yeah, that's saying if you're doing gymnastics. No, you can certainly see, I mean, according to this chat, it works out so perfectly. Because you can certainly see that a bias taina is not such a persuasive taina. You see, if you're going to go bust her, I mean, obviously it's more likely somebody lies down on their tummy, and it's a normal kind of thing. But to say that she's back, how can they count?
What about the fact that the odds of having blood in that area in a woman is much more likely that the odds of
not when it's not her vessel. It's not her vessel. It's very often a urinary infection. It's not all that uncommon.
So the doctor is not the doctor is not.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Omar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Chamisha Dvarim Ein Sheoseh Otan Mitchayev BeNafsho VeDamo BeRosho. Hoch Hashum Kaluf UBatzar Kaluf UBeitzak Kalufa. All of which, or Shoter Mashkin Muzugim, Shavu Alemalayla, all of which were over Alemalayla. Halan Bebet Akvarot, Anotel Tziponam Bezorkan Oshut Rabim, and the Mekiz Damu Mishamesh Mitato. Big, serious problem. Alko Shum Kaluf, Avagad Damanche Besilta, Umetzari Vechatime, it doesn't matter. Ruach Raz, find their way in. So Ruach Raz Sharali. Below Amra, another the Lord Shirba Yikaran, oh Klipatan. Ava Shirba Yikaran, oh Klipatan, Letlanba. This is similar to the avocado. You know, you leave a little bit of the Klipa, and supposedly it prevents it from. I think it's a myth, but that's what they tell you. You leave a little bit of the Klipa in the avocado, it stops the burning. Vashotem Ashki Mizudin Shavelim Alaylam Revira Mishmovahu. Shalono beklimatachot. Amr of Papa, klimater is the same as klimatachot. Amr, it contains metal. Chenom Amr of Yochanan, vu shalono beklimatachot, u klimater ke klimatachot. Amin. Halan bebet akvarot, kedei shetishra lav ruach atuma, zimnin demesachnin leis. That's why they changed it to the balloon man at the parties instead of the ruach atuma guy at the party. Hanotel tzipon abuzar kan l'rishat rabim l'shishah mu'uberot avrat alim avapel Lo amra la de shaka big nuistri. Lo amra la shaka di yadi udikari. Lo amra lo gazvini batraite. Avo gazvini batraio letlamba. None of the above is true. The kulam is the chashina. Tom Rabbanan. Shlosha dvarim neemru betzipornai. Sorfan is your easiest ticket to chasidut. Kovran tzadik zorkan rasha. Omer v'ni yisroke l'shimein, ein v'shamshim b'dotem b'yom. Omer Rava, but imoye b'ayit afel mutar. And not only that, a talmud chacham can even be ma'afil b'chesuto m'shamesh. So, oh, t'shamesh l'oraneh? How do you explain that? Read tivdok l'oraneh. What do you mean? Tashma, afa pisha omru, ha'meshamesh mitato l'oraneh rezim gune. How do you explain that? I'll read that also. Habodet mitato l'oraneh. Okay, Tashma. Shabbat Manboz Amelach Ayu Asim Shlosha Dvarim Askeram Tan L'Shevach. And here it says Ayu Meshamshim Midotem Bayom Botkin Midotem B'Mila Bahava Noaget Tumah V'Tayav Shlag. But anyway, what support does is it says Meshamshim Midotem Bayom. It means Botkin Midotem Bayom. It's got to mean that because I can have even stop. Isar Kadakh Meshamshim. I mean, the most you say is Mutter. You're certainly not going to say, wow, what tzaddikim. So I must kill not on the Shabbach. Enachinami. Agav dika on the Shena. Meganya beyape. But kin mitotem emila parava. That's mesele de shmuel am shmuel. En but kin et amital pakulin or bet semer nakivarach. Amarav. Wow, now I understand. I didn't care about the barve shabbatot. They were saying this weird thing. Man boy pakuli ben hama. I think I ain't going to be eating any of that kala. Lo yadana my karma. No, again, to me, the Tarabish login to another Shelleg, Eno, Lo, Ochel, Lo, Mashka. Chishev, Lo, Lachil, doesn't even help, but say, Matami, Tumat, Ochel. If Chishev, Lo, Mashka, there is a slurpy, Matami, Tumas, Mashka. Nitma, Mitzato, Lo, Nitma, Kulo, Nitar, Mitzato, Nitar, Kulo. Wait a minute, I'll go for Kasha. First you say, Nitma, Mitzato, Lo, Nitma, Kulo. And then you said, Nitar, Mitzato, Nitar, Kulo, which is Mashka, and originally it was Nitma, Kulo. How is it possible ever to be Nitmakulo? Rabbi, what do you mean? Very simple. Every royal of Yertanur, since the Torah is made out with Charis, Afilam Alech Hadal, so this is not different than Hadal. Marshal, Marshaluch HaKamim Ba'isha, HaKheder Ba'Prozdor Ba'Aliyah, Dam HaKheder Tamei, Dam HaAliyah Tohor, Nimtza Be'Prozdor, Sveika Tabe Lefishach Eskato, Min HaMekor, Romi Ba'Shmo, Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda, Tonu Nida Be'Ravuna, Ashkechinu Rabba Ba'Ravuna De'Atvi Ve'Kamre, HaKheder Mi'Bifnim, HaProzdor Mi'Bachutz, Ba'Aliyah B'Nuya Ashtehen, Ve'Lu, Patuach ben aliyah leprozdor nimtza min alu velifnim sveiko tamei min alu velachutz sveiko tahor. Atav amar leavua sveiko tamei amar tunar vanan shekaskato min amekortina amar le anachika mina min alu velifnim varai tamei it sveiko is only min alu velachutz. So then it's sveiko tamei. Rabbaye, I don't get it. My shana luba lachutz sveiko tamei, only because you take into consideration the dilma shachata, and really, b'cheder ata. But you say the same thing in the other direction. So min aluba lafum nami, ema izdakra, and mi aliyah ata. Elon Rabbaye, you gotta make up your mind, ibata chashasha azalta, Or whether bata chazaka, I bata chashash razata, so then you leave it in safek. I bata chazaka zata, so then alu v'lifim v'anai tamim, and alu v'lachus v'anai tohor. Tony Rebbe Chia, Daman in Tzabe Prozdor, is v'anai. Chayov in alava b'yat migdash, sorf in alava tachruma, Rav Ketino Omar, no, it's never v'anai. In chayov in alava b'yat migdash, and in sorf in alava tachruma. So now it works out very good. I'll leave it on by. Lahak lishu davar habayi bata chashar she'azalta. That's exactly the way Rav Ketino is looking at it. It's the way Rav Ketino. And it's pligi and Rav Chia. Lahak lishu davar I bata chazaka azalta. That's b'sayeya l'Rav Chia and pligi da Rav Ketino. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Okay, good morning. Happy Daf Yud Zayin in the Sechas Nida, Tavshin Samach. Hey, anybody hear of a public Siyum on the Daf Yomi that they're doing in this country?
Yeah,
I know in America. Where is it?
Yeah, it's here.
Here. Somebody wrote me an email. They're going to be here. They want to get a ticket. You know,
the Hebrew one is probably at Yad Eliyahu, and the English one at the
How come they don't see? You don't see like ads.
It is. You can go to the Dafyomi site. The one.
Which one is that?
Dafyomi.org.
They have flyers at the Daesh.
They sell tickets there.
Oh, really?
If you give the share, it's free. If you're a student of a share, it's like 40 shekels or something. And they give a phone number to order the ticket.
In Daesh?
Yeah, they have little flyers out there.
That would be wonderful. Thanks.
Oh, a big line of speakers out.
Okay.
Great grabs.
All right. So here we are, as I said, anyway, in Daf Yud Zayin. And we were talking about the Dvarim that are Megunim yesterday. And one of the things that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had spoken about was Meshamesh Mitato B'Fnei Kochai. And we said that that was Lima'et, not in front of Mais, but in front of Avadim and Shvachot, because of the mistake to believe that Shvulach and Poim HaChamor meant that it wasn't necessary to be Tzanua in front of them. Rabbi Bar Avuna, however, it's interesting that there were also those who were very makpid. So that Rabbi Bar Avuna, Mekarkish Zagi de Kilta. Rashi learns that this means that Rabbi Bar Avuna used to have a bell that was attached to his kila. The kila is the covering of canopy. The canopy bed. And he would ring the canopy when he was sleeping with his wife, which Tosfos says sure doesn't sound very tzanua to him. this was an indication that people couldn't come into the room, but I mean, my God, it's rather strange. You know, you put a little light on the air, you know, outside. So it's not exactly tzanua. So Tosfos learns that it means zugi, and is a lashon of gazi, is the correct lashon. Gazi meaning flies. Or actually wasps. In other words, to be makpid from insects, and there were wasps around there, so he would be megarish them. And Abaya, Bali Didvi, Abaya would chase away the flies, and Rabba was even Bali Peruchi, he would even chase away mosquitoes. So, I mean, I could think of other reasons to do that besides tzniyas. But in any event, we see that there were those who were very makpid. Omer Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, continuing on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's recommendations for clean, healthy living. Chamisha dvarim hein sha'oseh otam mitchayev v'nafsho v'damo b'rosho. There's five things that if you do it, you're responsible for your own death, because these things are really bad news.
It's actually more than compares the entire to the book to a fly. So
might be a few remaining here. Ahol chashum kaluf u'batzal kaluf u'beitza kalufa. Someone who eats, this means that remained overnight, someone who eats a shum, a garlic that was without its skin, or an onion that was skinned, or an egg that was skinned, that was left out overnight,
which leads to all types of terrible problems with garlic powder and commercial egg powder. It's actually a tshuva from the nation about this, about the garlic powder and the egg powder. Well, I'll discuss them when we get to the end of the sugya. Vashoten mashkin mizugin, someone who drinks any type of drink that has water mixed in it, and that would include, therefore, water itself, maybe Achrona mentioned. Sh'ovah alehem halayla, that was left out overnight. And halam bebet hakfarot, somebody who sleeps overnight in a cemetery. Hanotel tziporav zorkan rishus harabim, someone who cuts his nails and throws them into the rishus harabim when people walk. The Gemara is going to go over each one separately. And somebody who had a bloodletting and then is osik b'tashmish. Again, the Gemara will talk about each one of these things. But in general, the question as to what the status is of these type of issues, bizman hazeh, there is isur that's associated with this. It was when Rav Shimon bar Yochai says a lashon of mitchayev b'nafshov v'domo b'rosho, he's not saying it's asur. So, therefore, I mean, that the Achronim say that these are not the Gidrei Iser, these are the Gidrei good advice for living. Once that's true, they don't even have a din of Chamir Sakantam Isura either. There are experiences or ways in which a particular culture relates to it. Because of that, there are many who hold that it's not even Nogeab Isman as any of these types of recommendations. First of all, because as Tosfos points out, many of these things have changed. Nishtana Teva, a lot of this is Nogea Ruach Ra, as the Gemara says, and there's Tosfos elsewhere says that such things are not Matsui Beinenu. Again, very much the society's paradigm of what life consists of is very fundamentally important to their etiology of disease and to the way that their immune system functions and so on. So there's many old bichlal not to pay any attention to this. How, and the mice of the Shulchan Aruch leaves out the stuff about the shum kaluf, the beitza kaluf, and the batzal and so on. And nonetheless, the achronim say it's because kedai to be zoyer from it. And Mishnah Berurah says, no, he doesn't talk about it. Son. But after all, Rav Shimon bar Yochai says it's an important thing. But the klal that the Chazanish says is that wherever there would be any shinui at all from the situation at the time, for sure you could rely not to pay any attention to it. So in other words, if the processing is done differently, let's just say now it's dry, the garlic, that wasn't what they were talking about. Or same thing for when it's part of an industrial process, like with the eggs, that's the way it's always done. That's not what they were talking about. So whatever, in other words, any type of shinoi. Or here they're talking about mashkim that are in a metal container. Today the metal containers are lined with fat to avoid contact directly with the metal, things like that. So wherever you can make a shinoi of some kind, you have no reason to assume that these things are important, and especially where nobody is knowing to be marked on it, so then it becomes shomer psoim Hashem. It's not that, you're not doing anything different than anybody else in the world is doing. Nonetheless, those that want to be zoyer, as the Achronim say, tovo aleihem bracha.
Eggs and onions can become toxic if they're
left
open.
Yes, I don't know about onions, but certainly eggs can become quite.
Onions also become toxic.
Really? Yeah. But here the Gemara says even though they're sealed. Not left open. But we'll see now in this thing. Let's go through each one separately. Aoko shum kalut. The Apakav the Manukha Basilte Mitsaire Bhatime, even though they're in a container and they're sealed and they're even stamped, so that they're not openable, nonetheless Ruach Ra'a Shore Alehem. This is a Ruach Ra'a, and so as I mentioned, Tosis says Ruchot and not Mitsuyim Beneinu, everyone should forshish. Velo Amr Lidlo Shier Ben Ikaran Oklipatan. This is only if there wasn't some of the root or of the skin that was left on the root. If you have some of the root or skin, we're not shyish for having left it. This is only if they were left over in metal containers, which is indeed a good idea not to do. Omra Papa Klimeta Kiflimatachot, aluminum containers are the same. Of course, it was alum containers in those days, since they didn't have a process to separate out the aluminum, are the same as a klimatachot. V'chein Omra Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shalonu beklimatachot, v'chlineta kiflimatachot damu. Halan bebeit hakvarot, it's talking about somebody who was a homeless guy and decided that the chidah's oil would be a nice place to get out of the rain. It's talking about a guy goes to sleep in the beit hakvarot, kidei shetishrei alav ruach tum'ah. This guy's really into the weird stuff. Zinden de mesachnin leiv, this can actually endanger him and bring him to insanity and so on, so not kedai to do. I know that the part of the Zorkin Lashut
Arabi. Yeah, elsewhere it says that that's one of the things for that has to come like
Shotet,
right? Yeah.
That's a good way to become Shotet. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I know that the part of the Zorkin Lashut Arabi. This is because a pregnant woman can walk over those cut nails and lose her child. It's just as the Mukhe Yosef says, it's because it's so disgusting, she'll gag and get sick from it. But that doesn't tie in very well with the Gemara Mori Cotton. There the Gemara says if you move it to a different place, in a different room, so then there's no problem. I mean, if it's only because of Mias.
But the Mukhe Yosef also can't just cut your nails in front of your wife.
That's another thing, I suppose, that Rachav. Well, Amarel of the Shokel beginner street. This is only if you use the scissors. Well, Amarel of the Shokel the other of the Chayek. This is only if you cut your fingernails and your toenails at the same time. Well, Amarel Ella the Lo Gazmita Basrai. And it's only if you didn't cut something else afterwards with those scissors. Avagazmita Basrai left from that. But if you cut something else, it wouldn't apply. Velohi, none of the above three things are true. Kula Milta Chayshina. Actually, we are choshish no matter what the circumstances.
I think we know not to cut the toenails and the fingernails at the same time because that's people who are amazed at the minute not to do that.
Yeah, it's brought by the Morgan of Rome. Well, I wouldn't say that. It's not mashma. Otherwise,
no, otherwise, right, but it's still.
It's mashma, it's no longer nogea, but it's still clear that it's worse to do both at one time than not. So that's probably the mocker of it.
You were taught not to do them both at one day because the dead people did. You do that
on a maze. Yeah. Tanu Rabbanan Shloshim Dvarim Nemru Betziponai Sorfan Chasid Kovran Tzadik Zorkan Rasha. Someone who burns his fingernails and therefore they can't affect now a woman who's walking over them, he's a chasid. Someone who's kovar then, but they could still become nidgala as a tzadik. It's someone who just throws them out is a rasha.
People do that today? Do they burn their nails?
There are people who do it, yeah. But it's not clear with the Gemara in which we pass in the Gemara in Yuma, that if it's in a different mokum, flush it down the toilet, then it shouldn't be in there. But this is obviously a higher darga of chasidus.
A men's locker room where there's no women.
It says if it's a mokum like a Beis HaMidrash, Gemara says B'Fenish, a mokum where a woman doesn't get to. Yes. It's one of these funny pshatim. It says, "Vatelech lidrosh es elokim." She said, "In Ken Lomad Zan Ochi, Vatelech lidrosh es elokim." Why did she go to Drosh elokim? Because she figured the best manager, everybody cut their nails, maybe she'll lose the kids. Crazy pshatim. But anyway, but it relates to your question. I make his damu mishamesh midato. The Avabar make his damu mishamesh midato. Havi no banim vitkin. Somebody who has a bloodletting and then immediately engages in intercourse, if he leads to conception, then this is leads to children who are weakened. Both of them having come from a bloodletting, having a bani bali rahatan, is even worse. It's a really bad shape. Brain tumors and so on. This is only if you didn't eat something after the donating blood. I will tell you immediately if they gave you that Baskin Robbins ice cream, or orange juice, then less lumber. Omer Abchista, Asur Lalodim Shishamesh Mitato Biyom, Shinemar V'Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Here we have a new issue. Not to be Mishamesh in the daytime because of Av Asareya. My mashma, what does that have to do with things? It's respect for another person not to see them in a situation in which you might see something that turns you off. The Chalaltain is Ravuna. There's an Indian. This the Rambam brings is a concept of azut panim. It's a concept of azut panim. A person doesn't feel any sense of busha about his behavior. So because of the level of kedusha, which is keneged azut panim, they're bechal not b'shamish mitoteim biyom. Omar Rava v'imaya bayit afel mutar. If you're in a dark place and you don't come to these issues of shema yirab and avra maguna, it's bad to mutter. It could be another issue of kedushim and kedusha yaseir, as the Rambam brings. He doesn't bring these other time in. He brings only the time of Azus Ponim. So if it was a Bayit Afel, would be Mutter, and if he's a Talmud Chochem, and he knows to be careful and to respect his wife, then Ma'afil b'chisuto m'shamesh, even if it's not a Bayit Afel, but he can use his own ksut, or the blanket, and be m'shamesh, and know that he'll be careful not to see something that could reflect poorly on his wife. It's not. O t'shamesh l'or haner. What about our Mishnah? Doesn't Beit Shammai say that if you don't have additional edim, one for each tashmish, then leave the lights on? I thought you said that. It's such a terrible thing to leave the lights on. You said like two dapim that keep talking about this. And at this point, the Gemara held, as we mentioned yesterday, that it means you have to leave the light on the whole time. And as we spoke about, yes, it's interesting that the shot of why that would have to be is in the Sefer Aruch Laner, which is looking in the light of the candle. But anyways, but it was the Aruch Laner who gave the svara yesterday that turning on and off the Ner would be too much time. That was the Gemara's Havamim, that it's, well, I mean, what possible reason could you think that you'd have to leave the lights on? I mean, why not turn on the lights to check the eight of the Dika? So we time it again because of, since we're using the same aid over and over again, and our only chashash was that if there's a little bit of dam, it will basically melt away in other liquids. So you want to have the lights immediately so you can detect it before that happens, so you don't have time to turn the lights on and off. Anyway, that was the Gemara's half. I mean, and now the Gemara ends up saying, well, maybe it doesn't mean to leave the lights on. Maybe it means tivdok lo haner. Turn the lights on. Tashma, apa bishamu ha-mishamesh mitratol la'or ha-ner, is it maguna? Understand, it says, the Pharisee in the Mishnah, ha-mishamesh mitratol la'or ha-ner, mashma, that's what we're talking about. Even though it's maguna, nonetheless, do so, if you only have one aid. No, it means, ha-bodek mitratol la'or ha-ner is maguna. Tashma, shabdeit mon baz ha-belech ha-yorosim shlosha dvorim. How are you going to explain what they say about Mumbaz? That the minhag in that family, they would do three things that Chachomi said were very fine things to do. I mean, it says b'feirush over there. They would sleep with their wives in the daytime. They would also use fine cotton to do the bedikot with, because cotton is white and it's soft. They would be machmir when it comes to snow to consider it a mashkin, and they would give it a ability to be makabel tuma, and they would need to be matired by immersing it in a mitzvah. In any event, it's important to ask, how you can explain the fact that it says over there that the chachomim were in favor of their sleeping with their wives in the day? Well, that means bodkin mitoteim b'yom. It just means they would check the bedika in the daytime and not rely on an or haner, because the bedika in the daytime is more likely to show up the problems on the eight. Achinami mistab. Come on, man. I mean, what do you think? These are dead mishamshim. I mean, let's say even that it would be mutter to be mishamish mitato b'yom. I mean, you're going to say that it's an especially good thing that maskinot on the shevach? I mean, I, what did you think it meant? I mean, obviously, it couldn't mean literally to be mishamish mitoteim. These are gedavim mishamshim maskinot on the shevach. I mean, the most you could say it's mutter. You're certainly not going to say it's especially a good thing to do. Says the Gemara, no, that's not true. Not true. Ain't a finami. It could well be that it was especially a good thing to do for them, because the agavika on a shena. Look, these were people, busy people who come home after a long day you know, in the office of Misar Achutz over there by Manbaz HaMelech. And the last thing they had on their mind was now any kind of activity in bed. They wanted to go to sleep. And here they have their duties to perform, and they're sick and tired of their duties to perform. So because of that, they would end up being begun of their wives in their minds, that they'd go through the motions, but they were not certainly not in a mood. So because of that, agav idika on the shena meganya ba'ape. It would therefore be a madrega litova to bedavka avoid having sex at night, because it was disgusting. And they would wait until the daytime when they had more energy. So maybe that's what the Chachamim were saying. That is something to be mishabeach. That's not so far-fetched.
They lead a life full of helpless citizens.
What? Right? Sorry?
They end up leading a life full of helpless citizens. I think it's rather than entire marriage.
That's a joke.
Because they left their work, they go, whatever.
Okay. Now, I told you, I always have a hard time. It takes me a long time to figure out everything. Furthermore, it said that they were both kinnitotehen b'mila parhava. That means that they used cotton. Misayel le'lishmur, they are mishmur, ain't both kinnitamitah, ela b'pakulin o b'tzemer naki. This actually shows that Shmuel is right. Shmuel said that you should only use either cotton or very clean wool. And it has to be rach. It has to be soft. If it isn't soft, then it's likely that it's, first of all, if it isn't soft and she does the bedikah correctly, may end up scratching herself. So you're supposed to use bedavka, soft cloth that doesn't cause any bleeding. Furthermore, it makes it easier to be machnis l'sedokim. Omer Rav Hainun, oh, said Rav, that's what's going on. The Chiyavi Hasim, when I was in Eretz Yisrael on this visit, as on Erev Shabbos, I heard these people going around in the shuk, selling stuff. I had no idea what they were talking about. People were saying, "Man boy pekule ben ahama, who wants to have cotton in their bread?" I had no idea what they were talking about. Cotton in your bread. Now I understand there was a euphemism. Kimalechem asher uochel is nahama. So they're saying, "Who wants to buy clean cotton to be able to use as an eid bedika?" Ah, at last. Amar Rava, "Hani shachti to keep the malay lebedika." If you have worn the garden of linen, that's also good for bedikah. Ain't it is? I thought we just said the Tanah Rei Menashe. Ain't bot kinet amita lo be eid adam velo be eid shachor velo be pishtan el rutakolin betzemer naki varach. Yeah, so what we just said is we're supposed to dafka cotton or wool because those are soft. You're not supposed to use linen. First of all, linen isn't so white, and furthermore, linen is a tough material, so it's best not to use it. What are you saying that you can use shachke de kitna, lo kasha be kitna b'mani de kitna, v'boisem ahava b'mani be kitna b'chayte b'shachke. First of all, it could well be that when it said don't use pishtan, it means don't use raw pishtan. Raw pishtan is ridiculous. That's the stuff that you wrap your esser in. You certainly don't want to use that for bedika. And here he was talking about shachake, he was talking about begadim of linen. That's already begadim that they became cloth. Or, you know, it could be, maybe even the meaning was pishtan, meaning even linen material. But what he said was shachake de kitna. Shachake de kitna is where the linen has been well worn, it's been washed many times, it's now soft, it's now whitened. Over there you can use it.
Kitna is linen?
Kitna is linen, not cotton. Yeah, it's one is Aramaic and one is Hebrew.
So
our cotton is not pishtan? No, no cotton. Nobody's cotton is pishtan.
So the word cotton is nothing
to do with kitna? No, it's just a cotton is spelled with a kuf. Rashi brings the word cotton. Kuf, vav, tet, vav, nun. Cotton. Right here on the bath. But kitna is a kitna. Then it says, Noagin Tumim Vatar B'Shlagim. The other thing that Chachamim liked about Monbaz HaMelech is that the bias was Noag Tumim Vatar when it comes to snow. Now, it says in the Mishnah in Tyrus, it says that Sheleg, I mean, actually, it isn't really a Mishnah, this is a question why it says snow, but Sheleg in a loch of a lo mashke. It's neither a foodstuff nor a drink. If you are mechashev that it should be achila, then ain no atame to mesochlin. A machshava to view snow as edible is not considered to be a machshava to be moridit lidei tuma, but lamashke matame to mes mashke. On the other hand, I mean, listen, a slurpee, you know, I mean, that's a high quality mashkin, so that would be matame to mes mashkin. But the thing is, that nitma miktzato lo nitma kulo. Because of the fact that it's snow, we view each particle as being separate from the next, and therefore there is no way to be metame the whole thing by touching part of it, because it's not going to, I mean, each one will be yored one level. Of course, you can't get beyond the first crystal that you touch. So there's no way to be metame the whole thing. On the other hand, nitar miktzato nitar kulo. If you're mitaher some of it, the whole thing is mitaher. Now, wait a second. This doesn't add up. Hagufakash. I mean, you just contradicted yourself. You said, nitma miktzato lo nitma kulo. So in other words, you can't be mitame entirely. And then you say, but when you were mitame entirely, you could be mitaher entirely. So now you're saying that it did become kulotomi. How's that? It's talking about, they simply took the snow, passed it over the airspace of a tanur that had a sheretz inside of it. Now it would be tomei because of the avir klicheres, because at Torah, ida klicheres, that anything in the klicheres is tomei, afilu malei chardor. Even if the, in other words, it's not the edge of the avir that's metame, it's the space that's metame, because chardal is little tiny pieces of mustard seed that's so different than little tiny crystals of snow, and the entire thing becomes tame. But now the question is, how are you metaya the entire thing? This is interesting. The Rash talks about this in the Mishnah in Tyrus, and he says, very interesting pshat, how are you metaya snow? The same way that you're metaya water. You can't be metaya a drink. Right? You can only, the only thing you can do is you can be mazria water. Because what happens is it becomes part of the mikvah, essentially. It becomes part of the earth. It's the equivalent of planting a plant. So you put in now a bottle of water that was tame. You take your bottle, your Gan Eden bottle, and have to have a wide enough opening, Kishwal Ferret Anod, and so on. But you open it up in a mikvah, and then the entire bottle becomes part of the mikvah, and it's all tough. So the Rosh Taina is, that's what you would be doing on the snow. You would be mazriya the snow. But once part of the snow is connected to the mikvah, so then the whole thing is viewed as connected, because each one now is touching a mikvah. So each one is now muzra. It has nothing to do with the inability to transfer tuma from one piece to another. So therefore, it's not contradictory that you can be metaher through zuriya, even though you only touch the edge of the snow into the mikveh, and you have a large chunk in the middle that never came in contact with the water. So what? Came in contact with the snow. Because the snow now becomes muzra itself, and so on, so this, the entire thing is covered.
Well, acres of superconductivity.
If you put it into the mikveh, even though only the outside part of the snow is taller, so to speak, it all becomes dark. It's all now in the mikvah. Because the snow is now the mikvah.
The whole state is covered with snow, the whole city.
No, it has to be in the mikvah. It has to be included. It has to have the features.
What about a lake?
A lake, if the lake is kosher for tefillah, then the snow is kosher for tefillah. Yeah, although it can't all be snow, the Beis Yosef says, because if it's all snow, then you weren't really tovel, because it doesn't touch you all over. So you weren't tovel in Arboim Saw, because there's no liquid in between. You have separate crystals. So where do you have Arboim Saw for tefillah?
What about ice? So it's not ice.
Tefillah and snow doesn't work.
It works if there's liquid also. So then the entire thing, the snow can be mitzarif to the liquid. But even if you, there's my focus, whether you can, you view the snow itself as a mitayer. The problem is that the mechanism of tefila, you'll be closer to our boy himself. That's what he's saying. That's my focus. I'm asking. After all, to be a real Kosher, you're supposed to go to Mikvah and Shelach, no?
How can it be that case of snow? Didn't we say a
mickle
full of fish counts?
Like, yeah, it'd be the same problem. You'd have to have some water between the fish. Otherwise, what's for shabbat?
Southern Belgium
is
water.
Is it? Maybe in South Africa it is.
But if you scoop up a bowl of snow and melt,
probably. How about towel?
Well, towel is water.
It's also water. We need a special reboot to tell us that it's water. It's not its chemical condition that's important.
What's the problem? It means you have a bowl of snow which has not melted. And
it doesn't have a shame of mind.
Why is snow?
Why should the chemical composition be different than its crystalline composition in terms of defining what it is?
Because
eventually
it'll become
water. Okay, that's eventually.
But if you leave it
a... Minerva, she says anything about steam?
But if you leave it and it becomes water, it's not lower.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's how they used to make mikvahs. Since it's not included in a kli, you can pick up snow, you put it into the mikveh, and then it's not mayim shuv. That's the easiest way to make a mikveh. No kli. A problem if it would be are you day tuma, there's ways to, but that's a very popular way of making it. Of course, you'd have to wait to fill your mikveh up for the,
If you make a huge snowball and move into the mikveh.
That's right. You can roll a huge snowball, and there you go. Okay, now the next Mishnah, what I'm going to do is just go through our sugya quickly today, because there's tremendous difficulty in explaining the coming sugya in practical terms according to what we know, medically speaking. As the Chazon Ish says, I mean, we have absolutely no clue as to where there would be another Mokar of Dam in an Isha. We'll just take it, Kipshuto. We'll talk about the various Shitas tomorrow after we get a little feeling for what's going on over here. So, with our Mashal Mashlu Chachamim Ba'isha. The Chachamim gave a metaphor for how to understand the building, the structure of the reproductive organs of a woman. And what they said was that we refer to this as a cheder, an inside room, a prose door, a hall to get to the inside room. And then you could have a second story, which you would call the aliyah. And the din is like this, that the dam that comes from the cheder, which would be the womb, would be tameh. The dam that comes from the aliyah, which is not at all clear what it's referring to, is tahor. Nimtza beprozdor, if you find now dam in the hallway, again, you would think, mitzad asfara, that this would be a reference to the entire vagina. However, the Rambam says that the prozdor is the tzavar harechem, which is a little strange, or is in our terms the cervix. At least that's what it seems to be saying, because he talks about the place where the head of a child immediately before birth is pressed against, and that opens grandly in order to allow birth. Sometime, and this is a Chassam Sofer brings from a doctor at the time, that is time, that it was the minhag of the doctors at the time of the Rambam, and he brings various ancient medical treatises, that the word tzavar harechem was a reference not to the cervix, but to the entire vaginal cervix area, which you could understand. In other words, if you draw a picture of a rechem and a vagina, you have a head with a neck. You could call it tzavar harechem, is the neck of the head, so to speak. But the problem is that the Rambam talks about the prozdor elsewhere in terms of making a bedika to check to see whether there's any bleeding around the cervix. He talks about a tiny opening, which you would need to put a little piece of cotton around a stick. I mean, that's the cervix, obviously. You don't need to go, you don't need to do any of that to check anything about the cervix. Svashmi is calling the prosdor actually the cervix. So there's a lot of confusion. There's some who learn that there's three shitas between the Rishonim as to what physical areas this is referring to. The Chazon Ish himself holds there's no machlokas. He tries to explain that everyone's talking about the same thing. But let us divorce ourselves from reality and discuss these things as if it's simply a graphic that has nothing to do with a real human being. And we imagine to ourselves a room, a hallway, and an area on top, which is called the Aliyah, and then an area in which you can climb up to the top, which is called the Lul, as we'll see the opening to the Aliyah, and we will say that there's blood that can come from the inner area, which is the Recha, blood that can come from this upper area, which is called the Aliyah, which the Rambam identifies clearly as fallopian tubes, because he talks about it's the area in which the ovaries now are able to send their production into the rechem. So again, it's not clear how we could talk about it as being outside of the cervix, which is what we're talking about here. But as I said, try to figure out the metzias tomorrow. Right now, let us talk about the graphic. So nimtza beprosdor, blood is found in the prosdor, the suffix of such blood is considered to be tameh. We assume that the blood came from the Mekor, which is here called the Cheder, and not from the Aliyah, even though the Dam and the Aliyah would have been Tahor, because it's usual to find, again, that's a simplification, but we'll talk about it in detail tomorrow, what is the din of a Chazok, is it din of a Rof, is it the din of Matzri, what is exactly the din of Matzri, is it din of Matzri a function of Rof? Most of the time it will be this way. These things we'll discuss tomorrow. But in any event, even though you have a suffix, since you have a chazorka, then in the prosdor, the blood is to be found from the cheder, from the mekar, therefore your assumption will always be that it's tameh. Now Rabbi Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bereg Rav Yehuda were learning Meseches Nida in Rav Huna's Beis HaMikdash. So Tanu Nida Be Rav Huna. Ashkechinu Rabba Bar Rav Huna Deyasvi Dekamre, and they found there that Rabba Bar Rav Huna was saying over as follows: Hacheder mi bifni, prosdor mi bachutz. The Mishnah didn't explain. The Mishnah just said cheder prosdor aliyah. He was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was saying, okay, the cheder, that's the area that's all the way to the inside of the body. In other words, that's the uterus. Haprosdor mi bachutz, towards the outside of the body, meaning the front of the body, is the prosdor, and the aliyah is actually built over both of those areas. Aliyah b'nuya shtehin. V'lul patuach bein aliyah leprosdor. And you have now an opening that leads from the aliyah into the prosdor, apparently on the top of the prosdor. Nimtza min halul vilifnim. Any blood that's found in the prosdor from the lul that was coming from the aliyah towards the inside of the body certainly is not coming from the blood of the aliyah, because then it would have traveled towards the outside of the body. So there we would have to assume that sveko tamei, any suffix as to where it comes. Had it come from the aliyah, then it would have been found towards the front of the body. How did it go backwards towards the cheder? Therefore, it must be that this dam was yotze min hacheder, because it wouldn't go backwards. Now he's saying sveko tamei, which is a mashmah, it's only a suffix. Not that this is a vadai, and later on we're going to talk about why that would be true. Why does he call it a suffix? I mean, it would be, of course, an afkamina la'alach. If it's suffix, we're not going to tuma, then we're not going to burn, you know, kachim and truma and so on it. Min ha'lul v'lachutz, if you find dam towards the outside of the body from the lul outward, then you would say sveiko tahor. Now, he didn't like this. And Rabba Bar Rav Huna didn't like this.
meaning that he didn't make the statement, it was actually the other two rabbis right. who made the statement?
Yeah, no, they heard, they were sitting there saying it over in front of him. Okay. Right? He found them sitting and learning. And this is what he heard from them. And he went and told his dad.
Okay.
Because he figured that they had heard it from his dad. What are they sitting in? They're sitting in his father's basement, they're saying this over. So he goes and he told his father, I don't understand. If this is what you taught them, then you're telling them that it's only a suffix. So suffix, tell me, Anubhavman, did you indeed teach us, sir, that it's only a suffix? Well, none. I thought you taught us in the Mishnah, Shecheskatomen on the court stand. It says over there that it has a chazaka from the Mikor, and we don't view it as a suffix, we just take for granted that it's coming from the Mokar. How do you explain what your Talmidim were saying? Omar le, ana hachi kami. Look, I don't know what they were saying over. You can't trust these Talmidim sometimes, you know. This is what I said. Min aluv lifnim. I said it's vadai tami, meaning that the Mishnah that you were quoting, cheskator min amakor, that's how I understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah being a reference to dam that is found min aluv lifnim. I never said sveiko tami. Min aluv lachutz sveiko tami. What I said over there is, in terms of not burning truma or kachin, to be tola truma v'kachin. Over there, you could have dam from the lul, you could have dam from the cheder. Because of that, you have to be machmir, but you can't say it's varai, a dam from the cheder. And therefore, there I said that you have to worry that it could be either. Omar Abaye said, Abaye, and I don't really understand exactly what's going on over here. Because my shnomen aluva lechutz the sveiko tomei. What we're saying over here is that you are assuming, now, in order to understand this, kipshuto, we're going to have to assume that the dam of the aliyah is what would be found, and only dam in aliyah would be found bachutz. And if you would have had again, some learn that this is a reference to the top of the prosdor and the bottom of the prosdor. That's the easiest way to understand it. Assuming that this lul opens up to the top of the prosdor, and the small amounts of blood that would be coming would be finding their way out of the body, traveling along the top of the prosdor. Masha'in came down from the cheder, would travel along the bottom of the prosdor, then we could understand that what Abaye is worried about is the following. No, that tomorrow we'll talk about. There's many different drawings that are brought by the Aforonim that I said to get into the details of what we're talking about, that we'll do tomorrow. I just want to run through, at least you know the issues, to say up front everything without seeing why these crazy things are being said doesn't make sense. So let's first take a look at the things we're going to have to worry about. It's clear from this sugya, however we understand the physicality of it, as you'll see in a moment, that blood from the cheder would be easy to differentiate from blood from the aliyah based on where it was found. And that if you checked in the prosdor, milachutz, you actually should have assumed that the dam was coming from the lul and not from the cheder. Okay? And this explains the words that are about to come. Abaye asked on this, and he said, Maishna min aluv lechutz de sveiko tamei. Why is it that you're saying that when you find dam min aluv towards the outside of the body, that you're assuming that that dam may have come from the cheder, and therefore it's a suffix tamei? Because clearly you're concerned that perhaps Dilma Shachata, maybe this woman bent down, and now Micheder Asa. So basically, if she was lying on her stomach, blood from the cheder would have been found in an area which normally we would have assumed is from the lul. But if that's the case, then you should say the opposite. Maybe she lied on her back. And then min ha'luv alifnim, then blood that normally would have been dripping downwards towards the outside of the body from the lul, if she's lying on her back, could certainly have been falling down inside towards the back of her body. So we should also say, min alul lifnim nami, ema is dakra, maybe now she bent over on her back, umi aliyah asa, and actually it came from the aliyah, and fell backwards towards the cheder, and you have exactly the same suffix as to the mixture, possible mixture of two sources of dam, whether it's found towards the back, meaning towards the rechem, or towards the front, meaning towards the opening of the vagina. What possible difference does it make to you? Once you're going to be concerned about one direction, it's just as easy to say that she bent in the other direction. So explain this to me. I can't see any way out of it. Elam Rabbaya, therefore, says Rabbaya, look, you're going to have to make up your mind. If you are taking into consideration the possibility of changes in position, rather than assuming that this woman was simply standing or sitting in a normal position, and you're also going to consider that she lied down or she lied on her stomach or on her back, so then you're going to have to choshesh both directions. And then ide v'ide suffix. Clearly, whether the blood is found towards the back, between the lul and the cheder, or whether it's found towards the front, between the lul and the opening of the body, it's the same suffix. V'basa chazaka azalta. On the other hand, if you're going according to the position that would be assumed if she hadn't moved in an unusual way, so then you should say that both are vadayim. Min alul v'lifnim vaday tameh. Since any blood from the lul up would have had to come from the cheder, it's not a suffix. But on the other hand, min alul v'lachutz is vaday tahor. Again, leaving us with the strange physical reality that even though the cheder is inside, closer to the back of the body than the lul, dam from the cheder, for whatever reason, would not have been found in an area with a dam from the lulbus. You see the problems here in trying to construct an actual model that's going to make sense out of this. Tani Rebbe Chia. So now we have basically three different approaches if we include the Rami Bar Shmuel. In other words, what we have over here clearly delineated is Abaye, who's saying that you're going to have to make up your mind. On the one hand, if you have a chashash of changes in position, you always have a suffix. If you don't have a chashash of changes in position, you always have a vada. Then for some reason we have what Rav Huna himself had said, which is that there's a nafka mina between the vadai of the lul b'lifnim and the suffix of the lul b'bachutz. That's what we've seen so far. Tani Rebbe Chia, dam animtza b'prozdor, chayavim alav apiyat mikdash, v'sofim alav edat shuma. Here we have now Rebbe Chia, in which he brings the brisa, that any dam that's found in the prozdor is varai tamei, and you would burn truma v'kachim, and you'd be chayav to bring a korban on knisa al hamikdash, and so on and so forth. In other words, no suffix whatsoever. It's considered to be vaday tuma. It is not clear at this point whether he means min alul v'lifnim or whether he means min alul v'bachutz. He seems to be saying any dam that's nimta b'prozdor. Rav Katina Amar, ein chayavin alav abiyas mikdash ve'ein sorfin alav es hatrum. It's not true. It's merely a suffix. So now, according to what Abaye explained, that e baser chashasha azalta, that if you're going to follow the chashash, then you're going to have to say that it's always a suffix. So then that essentially would mean misageya leila Rav Katina. That would be saying exactly what Rav Katina was saying. Rav Katina is saying ein chayavin alav abiyas mikdash, right? Okay. So then that is precisely what Abaye said on the tzad that you want to be chayshash. You always have to assume that dam in the prozdor is maybe because of a change in a position. If it's found towards the back, maybe min aliyah. If it's found towards the front, Again, because it changes in position. Maybe she was lying on her stomach. Is Daman Acheda. So therefore, it's always going to be, as Rav Katina said, it's always going to be a suffix. And therefore, whether we're talking about Min Alul V'Lifnim, or we're talking about Min Alul V'Lachutz, anywhere in the prosdor, it is a suffix. Shalok Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya, for some reason, he said it's only a suffix Min Alul V'Lachutz. Correct? Because Rabbi Chiya was obviously not going along with what Abaye was saying over here. On some level, either both, or at least milifnim, Rabbi Chiya says here in the Braisa that you're chayiv and it's a vada, which is lamaisa what it was that what they were saying over from Ravuna, which we haven't understood why, but min alul milifnim he says it's vada. Rabbi Chiya over here is also saying it's a vada, which means that the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya seems not to be true, according to what Abaye was saying. Because according to what Abaye is saying, there should never be a tuma vada'it in either direction. Because we always have to be afraid that there's a suffix. She leaned on her stomach, or she lied back on her back. The other lashon, la'ach lisha da'amrit, ibasar chazoka azalta, on the other hand, if we take Abaye's other tzad, which is to say, we don't have any chashash of changes in position, and we just go according to the way a woman would normally stand, then that would fit with the brides of Rabbi Chiya. Of course, it would mean that when Rabbi Chiya said it was tameh, he meant it was tameh min alu v'lifnim, not min alu v'lachutz, and then it would be pligator of Katina. That lashon of Abaye would now work out a libra of Katina, because according to Abaye, there's never a suffix. In other words, Abaye said two possibilities. Either there's always a suffix, or there's never a suffix. If there's always a suffix, it's because you're chayish for change of position. If there's never a suffix, then min alul v'lifnim is always tameh. Min alul v'lachutz is always tar. The Gemara is pointing out over here that the two lashonos in the brayta here, the Rabbi Chiya and the Rav Katina, fit either one lashon or other of the price of Abaye. According to the tzad of Abaye, who says that you have to worry, he doesn't say one way or the other, he just says you're going to have to decide which way you want to go. So according to the tzad of Abaye that says, consider the possibilities of the change of position of this woman's body, then Rav Katina would be absolutely correct. You could never have done that would be Vara Tomei to burn Truma on, but to be Bechaya Birfak Nisa Lamekesh on. Because you're never going to be sure, if you have to take into consideration changes in the position, no matter where this Dam was found, you don't know whether it was from the Lul or it's from the Cheder. On the other hand, the Tzad of Abaye that says, let us just follow the Chazok of where the Dam would be, that could not work out a Libra of Katina. Rav Katina says, so it's suffering. That works out dafka libra Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says it's vadai tame, and you're burning kachim and truma, and you'll be chayav to bring a korban. However, we would then have to limit it, of course, to min halul v'lifnim, because only min halul v'lifnim. He said it was vadai. It was vadai, correct? And there would be no problem with Abaye at all.
The blood is only seen when it comes out of the body. We have no.
The blood is what?
It's only seen.
No. We never. No. We're talking about making a bedika here. So, in other words, depending on where we discovered the dam, that's how we're paskening. We're careful to figure out where we're touching.
Haven't you know it? The woman has to know from where.
So we have many cases later on where we use. We use a tampon, let's say, to do a bedika. We cover the area except where we want to extend the cotton, and then we check it. And there, again, depending on where this really is, it can be either more or less difficult to establish this. Right? Also, depending on whether we're talking about directions, top or bottom, also makes a mafkamia.
Yeah.
Again, that we'll discuss tomorrow what the possibilities are. Okay, but you're now aware of the issues that we're going to have to explain.
But once she moves around, the blood obviously moves around.
Why? Gravity is gravity. And we're not going to, unless she actually lied down.
What about capillary movement? It could move upwards just as easily, just as in the straw type things that they use for blood things. It goes upwards. And gravity is not the only function.
Yeah, but there's no sufficiently tight area that's going to be capillary. No concern for capillary. Welcome to Daf Yud Ches and Seder Shnas Tov Shin Samachay of the 6th millennia.
Nida.
Of Nida, huh? How do you like that? I want. Well, it all has to do with Sofek Tumah, which is a rabbi, and starts off with Seder. I'm not totally gone. Okay. So I promised you that we'd get into the biological realities. But before we do that, let's once again review the various shittas that we have on the daf here. So then when we go over the metzias, we can try to work out what's what. I think it's worthwhile a review of the daf on Amud Beis so that we can see it once again inside. Moshe Mashlu Chachamim Ve'isha. The Chachamim gave a marshal of euphemisms about a woman. It's as if you have a cheder inside, a prozdor, a hall leading to the cheder, and you have an aliyah, you have a second story above them. The din being that the dam ha-cheder is tameh, the dam of the aliyah is tahar, and the questions that we have revolve around when the dam is nimtza beprozdor. The assumption will always be that the suffix is definitely Tameh. Lefisha cheskatom in hamakor, we have a chazaka that dam found in the prozdor comes from the mikor. Notice that it uses different lashon. It doesn't say necessarily that the mikor and the cheder are equivalent. That's an important thing to notice. There's a change in language. And remember that by Nida, the only indication we have in the Pasuk of Tuma is that he gilta mikor dameha. So it's clear from there that it's only dam from the mikor, which is literally the womb, that is considered to be tummy. Not specifically an indication here that the mikor is the equivalent of the cheder. And I'm stressing this now. Even Rashi, who says in the second line of the Rashi, dam hacheder tameh, Vahainu Mikor is not necessarily saying that the dam of the cheder equaling Mikor. He's saying the dam of the cheder is Tameh because that is dam that is coming from the Mikor. It's possible to understand the Rashi that way. And we'll see why it's important to keep that possibility open. Now, we're going to have, coming up here, quite a few different approaches to understanding the place in which this dam was found, which tells us that it's Vadai Tameh. There may be, which the Mishnah says, there may be locations where it's not Vadai Tameh. For that matter, we might actually end up, and we'll see later on in the Sugya, we might actually end up saying that Nimtza Beprozdor Sveiko Tameh Lefishech. Shecheskatom and Amakor may not even mean Vadai Tameh in terms of burning Truma, although we're assuming right now that it does. It may just mean that we put it on a Chazaka Lechumra, so it's still Sveiko Tameh. Okay? Right now, the Gemara is assuming that the additional words, Shecheskatom and Amakor, make it clear that the Mishnah is trying to explain why it's giving a blanket Truma that would be both Midiraisim and Rabban. In other words, if we would burn Truma for it, we would bring a carbon on. If she went into the Beit HaMikdash, it would be no problem with Chulam Ba'azara. No Sveikot would be involved. So the first of the Shitot actually comes through a discussion of Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda, who were sitting and learning Nida in the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Huna, and Rava Bar Rav Huna was listening in, okay? And he hears them saying, HaCheder Mibifnim, HaProzdor Mibachutz, VaAliyah Bnuya Al Shtehen. You now have this Aliyah built above both the Cheder and the Prozdor, and you have a lul, which is a passageway that can go from, usually we had the Lashon before by the back of the Beit HaMikdash, where you have a lul that sort of means like a tiny opening, doesn't mean a real passageway, or a place in which you would crawl up to an Aliyah, like you have a little ladder going to an Aliyah, we can call that a lul also. Small opening. And that is patuach bein ha'aliyah leprozdor. That lul is the only way in which you can get dam out of the aliyah into the prozdor. Nimtza min ha'lul v'lifnim sfekot tamei. Therefore, and here for the first time, they're introducing now a distinction in where the dam was found. The Mishnah simply gave a blanket cheskato min ha'mekor. They are now explaining that that's not so simple. It depends where you find this dam. So nimtza min halul vilifnim. In other words, we understand that where can we say that we have dam that's tamei if the blood is found closer into the inside of the body than the opening of the lul? Because how would the blood have gone backwards towards the back of the body? And therefore, this is certainly dam that we'd have to consider to be min ha-mikor. Whereas min ha-lul v'lechutz, there we could certainly assume that sveko is tahor. So now he went home, Asav Yomelu Labu, he went home to Rav Huna, this was Rabba Bar Rav Huna, went home to Rav Huna to complain about what he had heard in the Beit Midrash. Because in the Beit HaMidrash from Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda, he heard a clear description of a shita that avoided scrupulously using the words cheskato min ha-mekor, notice, which the Mishnah uses. And in the Mishnah, it was those words that made us assume that we're talking about vadai. So when he heard these words from Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda, he said, ah, no, wait a minute, they're not saying cheskato min ha-mekor. In other words, they're saying sveiko tamei means literally sveiko tamei will be machmir on the suffix. It's not that it's definitely tamei, right? That's one element that bothered him. The other element that bothered, that's how Tosafos understands what bothered him. We have to understand what's bothering him because they use the same language the Mishnah uses. The Mishnah says sveiko tamei and they use sveiko tamei. And he goes and complains to his father and he says, you said it at vadai tamei when you taught us the Mishnah. But the Mishnah does the same thing different than they. I'm trying to explain to you why is he bothered by the Mishnah now, right?
What's the sake of the whole? What's the difference between the two?
Because one of them talks about a Mishnah and the other one doesn't. So we're trying to understand which part of his language. So it's to say Sveka Tahor obviously has to mean Vadai Tahor, because if there's any suffix involved, you can't say Tahor. So Sveka Tamei leaves it outside of suffix, but it's a chorma of Tamei, right? Sveka Tamei. But why say that? Why not just say Sveka Tamei means what it means in a Mishnah? Sveka Tahor means Vadai Tahor. Sveka Tamei means Vadai Tamei. So there's two approaches to this. Tosfos says, because of their avoidance of the word, cheskato min ha-mikor. If they want to say that that's the case in the Mishnah, the case in the Mishnah added the words of fish cheskato min ha-mikor. Sir Richard, it's a pleasure to greet you this morning, albeit to be ichur. And we're going over your Zion Amid Beis. Okay.
Your Zion Amid Beis.
We're going over. Get that jacket off, and I'll get my sweater off. Come on, let's do it together. Come on, come on. Ah, let's go. There we go. That's beautiful. Okay, now we're talking about the Shita. I hope that you're popping no-dos and not gum. All right, now we're talking about the Shita of Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bereder Rav Yehuda in the Beit HaMidrash, in which they said the suffix, the dam, when it's between the lul, which is the opening from the aliyah region, and backwards towards the cheder, towards the inside of the body, that's tamei, but the language they use is sveiko tamei. He's bothered by the Mishnah where he says the Mishnah is Vadai Tami. Tosis and Rashi both address the issue of what makes him think that the Mishnah meant Vadai, and they mean Safek. Both cases use exactly the same words, Sveiko Tamei. So Tosis explains the reason is because the Mishnah adds Lefisha Cheskato Min HaMekor. Lefisha Cheskato Min HaMekor, and Mekor, by the way, as we pointed out when you weren't here, is that Mekor does not necessarily mean Cheder. It may mean something even more than Cheder, which is the womb itself. Maybe the Cheder is not only the womb itself, as we'll see. And that is the place where Dam is Tomei from, as it says in the Pasuk, V'higiltat Mekor Dameha, or Mekorai Era. It always talks about the Mekor. So that's the Mekor of Dam that is Tomei. Rashi explains that Bishlema, the Mishnah that doesn't have any discussion of Dam that's Tahor, when it says Sveiko Tamei Shechaskato, means that it's Vadai Tamei. But if according to them there's a place in the body where it's definitely Tahor, which is Min Alul V'Lachutz, so in other words, they're agreeing that we need to take into consideration blood that may have come from the Aliyah through the Lul. Well, once they need to take that into consideration, clearly they're not going to tell you it's 100% Min HaMekor if it's Min Alul V'Litni. So according to them, unless they would have said otherwise, I take it for granted, he tells his dad, I take it for granted that they mean that it's a suffix. Gosh, why is it a suffix? So let's now remember. The first shita, which is the shita of the Amoraim and the Beis HaMedrash Rav Avuna, is, and we take the shita seriously, we don't throw them out, because we're going to talk about them later. We don't say, well, Rav Avuna denied ever teaching them that. That's true. Rav Avuna indeed never taught them that, but that's the shita that they followed, not like Rav Avuna. So what is their shita? There is no... It may be a presidential prerogative to come late, but it's not a good idea. Not on a day like today. So when we have... So now we have our first shita. Our first shita says, and this is the shita of the Amoraim, the Beit HaMidrash, Rami Bar Shmuel, and Rabbi Yitzchak Berei. No, it's not going to help. You might as well have got a polished apple. This is not changing anything. Shikar.
And sugars next time.
I'm warning you, Fox. Next time it's for the principal agenda. Thanks, no, it's fine, thank you. Okay. All right, so according to them, there's no such thing as Dam that's Vadai Tamei to be Seirek Truma, correct? And on the other hand, you know what, I think it would be a nice idea, maybe we make ourselves a little chart. We have, I don't know if I brought a clean PR, I'd use the back of it. Give me a pen, pencil. Keep things. All right, yeah, there. You have a clean piece? No.
I do. Yes.
Okay.
I do.
That's all right. No, that's fine. Okay, so we have, let's split it into Min Halul Chilifnin, which we didn't, none of this we did in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just kept things simple. Now we're getting a little bit more complicated. Min Halul Chilifnin and Min Halul Chilakotz. Okay. We have our first Shita, which is Rami Bar Shmuel and Rabbi Yitzchak Rei Rabbi Yehuda. They hold Min Halul V'Lifnin. What's the din? Suffik Tamei, right? Suffik Tamei. And they hold Min Halul V'Lachutz. What's the din? Vadai Tahor. Let's make sure that we'll use language to make it clear to us. Okay, Vadai Tahor. Good. All right, so here's our first thing. There's no Vadai Tamei yet, at all. Comes along now, Ravuna's son, Rabbi Bar Ravuna, says to his father, I thought you said in the Mishnah, V'anan shecheskato min HaMekor. Now, what are we going to do about the Mishnah? How do these guys get away with saying this? Omar Le, so he said to his son, Rabbi, he says, you're 100% right, I disagree, I don't know what they're saying. I never learned it like that. I don't know, my opinion is like this. Minalo v'lifnim is vaday tamei, not like they're saying. Okay, so first time, let's write that down. Vaday tamei, according to him, the Mishnah, when it says tamei is shechazkasim namoker, is talking about minalo v'lifnim. When it comes to the lul milachut, there I think that indeed we have, not like they're saying it's vaday tahor, but at least there's a suffix. Well, we're machmir mitzvah suffix. And we're going to say it's a suffix tummy, okay? So in other words, he goes one up on each level. They had vaday tahor, he says, nah, it's a suffix tummy. They had suffix tummy, he said, no, it's vaday tummy. Going from the outside to the inside, right? So he says suffix tummy when it comes to alu v'lachot. This is where we're at so far, okay? Comes along now Abaya, this is all reviews, so we're doing this quickly. Comes along now Abaya, and he says, look, we basically have to see two possibilities here. Now, we aren't even discussing what the logic is behind these two opinions, all right? The Gemara here doesn't go into the logic. In fact, it's the Gemara Baba Basra that goes into the logic because of other issues that need to be explained over there. But let us recall that we have three different issues, at the least, that have to be discussed over here. One is norms, what we would call chazaka. The other is rove, which is where would most dam come from. The other is matsui, what is more often to be found, which some learn is just a subcategory of rove. That's already a discussion in the Achronim. The other is karov. Is it closer to a place in which this dam would be found or that dam would be found? Because our Gemara doesn't go into it and make it the subject of the sugi here, I'm not going to go into it because it's very confusing. There's many different shitas in the Achronim how to balance out the different approaches of these Tanayim and Amoraim. And therefore, let's leave that to the Tzad. But understand that it's not just arbitrarily that everybody's giving these other opinions. And that actually we're taking into consideration the balance of numerous factors which all over Shas are found to be important factors, and the relationship between them are constantly a subject of machlokas, rov and karov, which one is adif, is it adif in terms of a suffix, is it adif in terms of a vaday, why chazok of the isha applies or doesn't apply, suffix tumer versus haramim versus hayachid, how come that's not an issue over here? All of those things, let's leave to the side and treat things very simply. So we don't have to get into complications that the Gemara doesn't treat. Fine. So now, we have Abaya coming along and saying that Rav Huna is inconsistent. The truth is that Abaya is not asking this, at least according to most of the Rishonim, and it seems to be the way Rashi is learning, and the Ritva explains this clearly, and it seems clear from the Gemara. Abaya is not asking this as a question on Rav Huna, like Mamonavshah. He's not saying Mamonavshah. He is actually speaking out two different shitas, which we're going to get to, as we know from yesterday, and that's the sheet of Rav Chiya and the sheet of Rav Katina. I really shouldn't say the sheet of Rav Katina. Rav Katina, after all, is an Amora. But apparently it was a bris of Rav Katina. It was a Tani by Rav Chiya, and a Tani that Rav Katina was quoting. Those two brises are what Abaya is saying should be the way to look at the sugya. Because either we're going to take a look at this sugya in terms of where we find the blood and the position that a woman normally stands or sits in, or we're going to have to take into consideration changes of position where a woman might have lied down on her stomach, or bent suddenly forward, or where she may have lied down on her back, or maybe done exercises in which she turned upside down, whatever. Now, that's the two things you have to take into consideration, says Abaya. Make up your mind, because what you, Rav Huna, has done is you're talking about contradictions over here. Maishna min aluv v'lachutz, tell me something. Min aluv v'lachutz, you're saying the suffix is tummy. Why do you say that? Because you are assuming, and here is the first piece, a first clue to the biological realities here. Okay? Because apparently Abaya is taking for granted that there would be no dam from the Mekor if it's beyond the place where the lul enters into the prozdor, normally. And therefore he's saying, I understand what the Talmidim said in the Beis HaMedrash. They said it's Varai Tohar min Alul v'Lachutz. Huh? Of course. That's because blood from the Makor would not normally be found min Alul v'Lachutz. How's it pass out? It's weird. Well, that's what we're going to get to saying. Here's the first key to explain the biological problems, okay? But certainly the Gemara is saying there's no way for the blood normally to get min Alul v'Lachutz. Therefore, you've got to be taking into consideration, it should be Varai Tohar, so therefore you've got to be taking into consideration that the woman bent over. So she bent to pick something up. If she bent to pick something up, so now you're going to get blood from the prozdor, from the cheder, or the makar anyway, into the prozdor. Again, another hint. In other words, how would she be constructed that bending over would have allowed the blood to get there? This is all we're going to take it. I'm just first doing the sugya. Then we'll see how we'll fit into physical reality, okay? But if you take into consideration changes in position, and you're not willing to say that's Varai Tohar because it's definitely from the lul, then why don't you take into consideration the possible change of position that the woman lied down? And if she lied down, then dam from the aliyah would have gone backwards towards the inside, towards the cheder. In which case the dam inside is also suffic. Maybe it came from the lul, maybe it came from the makor. How do you explain that? So, says Abaye Maisha, min alul v'lachutz, you're saying it's suffic tame, even though there's no dam from the cheder should have gotten there. Because you're admitting that Dilma Shachata, maybe she bent forward, umicheder ata, and this blood came from the cheder. So can't you say the same thing in the opposite? If it's min aluv lifnim nami, you should have to consider changes in her position, because maybe she lied down or bent backwards. Eimayz dakra. Umialiyata, and this blood came from the aliyah, went backwards, and now it would be taller. So it's still, at least a suffix. Therefore, says Abaya, you can only hold one way or the other. You can't hold like Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna mixes the two possibilities. When it comes to Lachutz, he's willing to say that the woman bent forward. When it comes to Bifnim, he's saying it's Varakam because she didn't bend backwards. I don't think that's reasonable. No, I mean, you could certainly see a reasonable basis for such a thing. Because bending forward is something that people do to pick up things and so on. To say that she lied down and was supine, and that's how the blood now went backwards, is not part of the normal activity of a person. It means that she would stop her normal activities and lie down. Okay, you can say the Rav Huna holds. Uh-oh. Those aren't working. Better take another view. There's always something more powerful. No, not in Richie's days, darling. Not in Richie's days. Hello, my Abaye. If you're going to tell me that you're taking into consideration the chash of changes in position, so then both cases are a suffix. The blood from the lul may have gone backwards towards the cheder because maybe she lied down. The blood from the cheder may have gone forwards past the lul because maybe she bent forward or lied on her stomach. And therefore, there would be no varai. It would be a suffix. And if you are following the normal position, then min alul v'lifnim is varai tamei, which of course would be the meaning in the Mishnah. Min alul v'lachutz would be varai tahor, which is the way that the Amoraim, the last part, is the way that the Amoraim were saying in the Beit Midrash. Min alul v'lachutz is varai tahor. That makes sense. Now, the two opinions of Abaye are not just a mamonifshach, make up your mind. There are really two approaches in the Tanoim, one that reflects the Basar Hashasha, and one that reflects Basar Chazaka. Because there are two brises, one of Rebbe Chia, and one apparently quoted by Rav Katina. So Tani Rebbe Chia, Dam hanimtza beprozdor chayavin alav al biyat migdash, v'sarfim alav et atruma. Now notice that Rebbe Chia does not explain where the dam is in the prozdor. He may be talking about min alul v'lifnim. If he's talking about min alul v'lifnim, already, we know at least he would be consistent then with what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said min alul v'lifnim. He seems to be explaining a Mishnah, where the Mishnah says at some point of a Vadai. Okay, that would be the Vadai. He doesn't tell us what he would hold about the Dam that was Benalu Velachutz, maybe. He doesn't explain enough to create problems with his Brisa, at least if you're willing to say that there's some time that there's Vadai. The only one that this is completely inconsistent with, Lichora, are the Amoraim that were sitting in the Beit HaMedrash, because according to them, there was never a time that it was Vadai Tami. It was always Suffolk, they were saying, right? So this is a problem. This Brisa of Chiyot seems to be a problem for Rami Bar Shmuel and for Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Katina, and this is clearly not Rav Katina's own mind, but it seems to be a Brisa, am I? Ein chayavim alav al biyat mikdash. No, it's a suffix. The ein sofim alav et atruma. Now again, Rav Katina didn't explain where. He just says that you don't have a vada. It seems to me that he's saying wherever Rav Chiya thinks it's a vada, it's not a vada. Now, v'hak lishna diyomer Abaye, ibasha chashasha azalta. When Abaye said, look, if you're going to wonder about how the woman was lying or standing, then you're never going to have a Vadai. Ah, now that would be very consistent with Rav Katina. Misayele Rav Katina. That would mean that Rav Katina's Maimer, or actually Rav Katina's quote of a Brisa, would be consistent with that opinion that Abaye quoted. Okay? So there actually exists such an opinion. But it would be fundamentally against Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya is saying there's at least one place where you would burn truma and you would bring a korban. Alright? Alright, so now let's put this in. This is now the shita of Rav Katina Aliva de Abaye. So far we've had the Amoraim, Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak Breda, Rav Yehuda, according to whom we only have a Vadai Tohar, we never have a Vadai Tami. Min alu v'lechutz, we have a vadai tohar. Min alu v'letzim, we have a suffix. And the dam is a suffix. Okay. According to Ravuna, we do have a vadai tame when it's min alu v'letzim. And we have a suffix tame, we never have a vadai tohar. We have a suffix tame, min alu v'lechutz. According to Abaye, in a Rav Katina approach, the halacha is that we always have a suffix. So whether it's min alu v'letzim, it's suffix tameh. And whether it's min alu v'lechutz, it's suffix tameh. Because the dam could have... The dam could have come from anywhere, according to him, because we're taking into consideration chashasha. Chashasha means the consideration of bending forwards or bending backwards. So it's always a suffix, okay? This is called shasha. Now, here's our three shitas. They're very different, as you can see. Good? Nice? Clear? Make pretend that it's all electronic up on this beautiful holographic display directly above the table. Look up and it's all there. This is the way it should be, so let's make it happen in our minds. Somebody wants to actually donate.
Visual screen.
I don't know. I think a hologram is much, much stodier. But all right. We'll settle for individual screen. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Miyam Yivarech. Thank you, Sir President. Now, how about according to the second lashon? Lahach lishna damet ibotzer chazoka azalta. The other approach of Abaye, who tainted against Ravuna, that on the tzad that you're going to look at the norms, then, what would you say? Min halul v'lachutz, he said, should be vadai tahar. Not like you're saying, Ravuna. Min halul v'lifnim should be vadai tameh. Because we're not chayish for either. That would make perfectly good sense, Misayele the Rabbi Chiya. That would make sense according to the Brisa of Rabbi Chiya. We would now understand that when the Brisa of Rabbi Chiya says you would bring a carbon for Knesset LaMikdash, you would burn Truma, he was talking about Minalu the Lifnim. Right? And that would be Plige to Rav Katina. There's no way that could work out according to Rav Katina, because Rav Katina is saying somewhere there's a suffix. You're right, he doesn't say where. Okay. But you don't have any wiggle room over here, because the way you're learning, there's never a suffix. It's either Vaday Tahor or it's Vaday Tamei. So this can't work out of even Rav Katina, because Rav Katina insists that there's at least somewhere a suffix. He's saying there's nowhere a suffix. Okay, so now let's do Abaye Aliba Rav Chiya. And he would be going now that we go according to norms, right, which he calls over here Ibozer Chazoka Azalta. So we'll call that Bozer Chazoka. And then we have yet a fourth Shita. The fourth Shita is Minhalu Velifnim. Minhalu Velifnim. Minhalu Velifnim. Minhalu Velifnim. We could just reduce it to Let's try that again.
Bloody business.
Min halu v'lifnim, if you're going according to Chazaka, would be Vaday Tamei. Okay. Min halu v'lachutz would be, if you're going according to Chazaka, Vaday Tahor. Exactly. So this now represents yet a four shita. Here are our holographic displays of the four shita. Looks like a real piece of paper, doesn't it? Not bad for a hologram. You see those words shining out there, Rich? It's that rich blue display that they use nowadays.
Hologram might be able to see
it
from this side.
It's such a
realistic looking piece of paper that I can't see it from
this side. The Amorai.
Just walk around the back of it.
Yes.
Right. But the Amorai, when it was Suffolk Tamei,
right.
It was Suffolk Tamei, although they said Suffolk
they
Tahor.
They said Vaday
Tahor. And you said Vaday Tahor.
Right, but the Suffolk Tahor can only mean Vaday Tahor in the context of a Suffolk Tamei. Right. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
That's what we were discussing with Scott earlier. Yeah. All right. These now represent the fourth sheet, the four shitas that we've had so far. This is what we did yesterday. Okay. Now let's just finish this up so that we take it to consider just a couple of additional lines to see what other issues we need to take into consideration, because without it, we will not be able to construct the biological model that we need to construct. So let us continue a little bit further, and then we'll get back to figuring out what is happening here. Now,